Welcome back to hour number two, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Zagura, Wilhelm, Kidd, Dante Whitner, Radio Gold. That's what we were told. Let's hear it, Dino.
We haven't seen you for a while. What? How do you explain the way this season has gone for you guys?
It's going terrible. It's been very tough. From losing the games the way we lose them. San Diego field goal, Denver not being able to get a couple yards to get a field goal, the Monday night game, throwing an interception against the Raiders to come back and try to go to overtime. It's been a tough season. But we're learning how to handle this adversity. It's tough right now, so we're going to see who's really with us, who's not front runners, and who's going to finish the season, who's going to give great effort as if we're fighting for a playoff spot. And that's what you look for in these games. These last four games are very important to us.
When we talked to you in August, you guys talked about this could be one of the best secondaries, two or three best secondaries in the league. Mm-hmm. So, where would you rank it now?
Somewhere around the middle, based on injuries, just based on a different number of different aspects of, what we didn't do, what we could do better. I would say somewhere in the middle. I would say that our confidence is still high. We still have the same guys in that room, but. It didn't go to where we wanted it to go.
Dante, there's chatter that the defense is too complex. You guys got to think too much. Is there anything to that, do you think?
I think that's BS. The same defense we've been running for 2 years now. And honestly, if I could sit here and show you guys cut-ups from things that we look at in practice and running a certain defense against a certain play and doing it perfectly in practice and getting the game and totally just doing something that you didn't practice to do, that happens. Maybe it's because I've been playing for 10 years. I don't think it's too complex. So I think you have to ask each individual guy. But as far as, what I think and what I know, I don't think it's too complex.
What do you think are the main causes of the struggles?
The main causes, I would probably say, we just have some guys that don't do what they're supposed to do as consistent as they're supposed to do it. And that's the honest to God truth. Even sometimes you could tell some guys, this play is coming. Somehow he still sees some other type of play out there. So that does happen. So I don't know what else to say about that. Sometimes guys do what they're supposed to do. Sometimes they don't. And when you tend to not do what you're supposed to do, that's when you tend to get beat. That's when you tend to give up big plays. And that's when you tend to lose football games. And that's why we're 2-10.
Are they only young guys that are making these mistakes, or some of them?
I didn't say any guys, but it's everybody makes mistakes. But how consistently do you make mistakes? Or you continue to make the same mistakes? And if you continue to make the same mistakes, it's either three reasons. Either don't know, you don't care, or you don't want to play football. We got to figure that out. And these four games right here is where you figure that out. You figure out who's the front runners and who really cares and who really loves the game of football and wants to play the game of football.
Dante, injuries aside, how much is the lack of a good rush up front affecting you guys on the back end? I totaled it up today, and it's 17 sacks, less than 40 quarterback hits. You look at what opponents are able to do against the Browns' offense, and the numbers are nearly double. So how much is that affecting you guys on the back end?
Well, it always affects you as a defensive player, especially a defensive back, because pressure and coverage goes hand in hand. Sometimes we can cover it up a little better and allow those guys to get there, and then sometimes we need pressure right now with some of the coverages that we play. Because if anybody around National Football League tell you that we play a lot of man-to-man coverage, and we rely on that pressure getting there, primarily from four or five guys, so if you don't get that, it makes it hard. But, I'm not going to point any fingers. I'm not going to call anybody out. We can do a better job covering and help those guys get there. And in the defensive line sometimes, maybe we can get a little more pressure. And, all of these things add up to being 2-10. So when we fix that, we'll be better.
Sorry. What's the trickle-down effect from losing Joe for so long? What's it been like for you guys?
It's huge because that's why you pay. There's certain guys in the National Football League that get certain positions that get the amount of attention, and you get paid a certain amount, and you get looked at a certain way because of things that you can do and how you can affect the offense. And cornerback is one position. Outside linebacker, rush outside linebackers is another position. A guy inside, like J.J. Watt or somebody that can stop the run and put pressure on the quarterback is so valuable. So not having Joe and not, you know, being able to put him in zero coverage and take one side of the defense away or add that other guy in the box to stop the run, you know, it's a huge trickle-down effect. If Joe was healthy all season and played up to his capabilities all season, then I believe that our defense would be a lot better than what it is right now. You can go to another team and bring a great pass rusher in that's going to give you 16 to 20 sacks. That's going to change you tremendously. That's going to allow you to only rush with four and be able to help and put other extra guys into coverage. You know, so it's a huge trickle-down effect. We wish he was out there. We wish he was healthy. And we do need him back as soon as possible, because when he's out there and playing his best, our defense is playing at its best.
You know, you talk about that pass rush. I mean, last year Paul Kruger had 11 sacks. Mm-hmm. I think he has two this year, because it seems like his role has changed. So
yeah, well, you can ask him. His role did change a little bit. And I would think that he would be probably a little disappointed in his role changing, like as if any other player. There's two positions on the football field. You have the rush and you have the Sam. The rush get primarily more of the rushes to go sack the quarterback. The Sam is more so a cover guy.
Mm-hmm.
Early in this year, Paul was playing the Sam, where he was covering a lot. He wasn't getting as many rushes. So sometimes it's not on the player, it's on the scheme.
Right.
You know, and I think the Buffalo Bills were having the same problem with Mario Williams and those guys, mm-hmm. with him not playing the rush and him playing the Sam. So, you know, I think he'll be the first to tell you that. So I think right now he's playing some more rush. I think he was able to get a sack last week.
Right.
So hopefully he can continue to do that.
Do you see that, any comparisons? Because there were some, let's say, griping, but they're, you know, they're similar schemes that's throwing there. And mm-hmm. it seems like Buffalo mm-hmm. has not been quite the same team as last year. Am I reading something wrong way?
No, I don't think there's anything to read into that. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you let your best players do what your best players do. And if you're a cover guy, you let your best player cover. If he's a rush guy, put him out there and let him rush. And I don't think he really had that opportunity. I don't know what happened in their room, or they felt like Nate was a better rush, or he was, or Mingo, one of those guys that come in. But, you know, he's getting back to playing the rush. He's not playing the Sam as much anymore. So hopefully that pressure adds to hits and sacks and quarterback hits, and it allows us to do what we do on the back end. But, you know, it all ties in together. Pressure ties in with coverage, and coverage ties in with pressure.
How do you think your season's going?
I think it's been okay. Started off a little rocky. You know, I think a lot of people, even a lot of you guys, some people said I should have been benched, or I was getting old, or whatever. But as I look around the National Football League, I see a lot of people miss tackles. I see even some that you call the best or perceive to be the best miss tackles, and a lot worse tackles than what we missed early in the season. So I don't know. But it's just a game of football. You have to take the criticism. You have to take the criticism, the good with the bad. So that's what I do.
Do you have faith in the coaching staff?
I have faith, total faith in this coaching staff. You know, every time we've taken the football field, we've been prepared. I can be the first to tell you that. We've been prepared. We've known what the opposition was going to do to us. We've known where they wanted to go with the football. Now, it's hard for us as players being prepared to get out there and you know, not know what's going on, because we study so much. We go into all these walkthroughs. We, you know, from notes and notes and notes, and it's just like sometimes we have mental lapses out there. So I really do like this coaching staff. I think that they're really, really a hardworking coaching staff. They're young, but they're really hungry to win. And I think just a little players, we've let them down a little bit this year.
Dante, things are getting pretty turbulent around here, and there's still 4 weeks to go. Jimmy mm-hmm. Haslam's having meetings, mm-hmm. you know. Futures are on the line. Mm-hmm. There's talk of more change.
Yeah.
You mentioned the players letting the coaches down. I mean, you know, as a veteran, you know, how do you cope and deal with that environment right now?
Well, you go out here and you have four games to play against some good football teams. You have the San Francisco 49ers, Seattle, Kansas City, Pittsburgh. You have opportunity to go out here and show that we haven't given up and that we can go out here and win some football games. We have that opportunity within the next 4 weeks. You know, so we'll see. You know, with all this adversity, we have to be able to block this out, go out there and get our jobs done, no matter if we're 2-10 or 10-2. And that's what we're paid to do. If you love the game of football, it really shouldn't matter about record or playoffs or anything. It should be about the love of the game, going out there and having pride and not laying down. And that's what we have.
Is it fair to say that change does not fix the problem?
A lot of times change will. A lot of times change won't. You know, sometimes it's not greener on the other side. You know, sometimes you have to stick it out to get to where you want to get to. You know, who's to say we couldn't come out next season with the same coaching staff being third year in the system and run off a streak like the Carolina Panthers? Because last year they weren't in two, you know, their situation last year wasn't so much better than what ours is right now, you know, and they just stuck with it. You know, it was people that was calling for, you know, they didn't make the playoffs last year for their coaching staff to get fired too, so sometimes you have to stick it out and wait and see.
Is that what you want to see happen?
Yeah, I would like to see that happen, but the call is not up to me. You know, you always understand that, you know, second, third year in a system, you know, some things can change. You know, something can click. Maybe the players won't make the same mistakes or the same mental errors when we step out there being third year in a system. So we'll see.
You'd have to win a whole new one next year probably.
Yeah, a whole new one. Then you got all types of other big plays happening and, you know, so I would say stick with it, but who am I? I don't know anything.
And Jim,
I'm talking about mental athletes. Where do you think those come from?
Sometimes the game is just so detailed, you know, and you have to put that extra work in to really know. You know, you might think you know, that's why you have to go home. You have to watch extra film. That's why you have to, you know, take those notes and go over the extra notes because, you know, you get out there on the football field and things move so fast. You know, it's not, you know, like sitting in the classroom or being in practice. Things take us. It goes to another notch when you're on the football field. And mentally you have to be in tune with it. You know, you might think you're ready physically when you step on the field Sunday, but mentally you have to be ready for all of the things and emotions and the checks and, you know, things that they want to hide. You have to be ready. Your eyes have to be in the right place. You have to know what alignment, assignment. There's so many things to think about. So, you know, sometimes they, like you said, they said it was too, our defense was too detailed or whatever, mm-hmm. but when you go out there and execute these things, this is when you play good defense.
When you can throw
so many things at offense.
Let me ask them. I was going to ask you earlier, is it young guys that are making mistakes or
everybody.
Are veterans making
mistakes? It's everybody making mistakes. You can't put it just on young guys. You can't put it on older guys. But, you know, we're not as detailed as we need to be dominant.
Does this game mean anything more to you playing against the 49ers?
Nah, I don't think so. Mostly because there's a lot of guys that are playing out there that I've never even played against, played with. You know, so it's really nameless, faceless this week for me.
Dante, you said that it's either players don't know, don't care, or don't want to keep playing. And you said you got to figure that out. Right now, as it stands, which would you say that it is, if you had to guess?
I wouldn't be able to answer that question right now. You know, going out there in adverse situations, you know, not being where we want to be, we'll figure it out. You go back and you watch the film, you'll see. You know, if there's guys out there continue to make the same mental errors or, you know, physically you're not getting the job done or physically you're not doing what we coach in practice or what you're supposed to do, then you don't want to do it or you don't know to do it. So it'll come out, you know, especially after these last four.
Quarterback Scott Martin Sunday again. Go ahead, Mary.
What do you expect to see out of Johnny Manziel this weekend, if you didn't answer that already? And also, what can you expect to maybe see out of Terrell?
I expect Johnny to go out there and have a fantastic game. Watching him in practice today, you know, he's taking charge of the offense, you know, based on different coverages. He's telling guys where he wants them and where he's going to deliver the football and, you know, what he sees in certain coverages. And, you know, just getting smarter as a football player, learning how to use his legs and, you know, not turn the football over and keep us out of bad situations. And, you know, he's becoming what a lot of people don't want to see him becoming. That's a true quarterback. He's throwing the football from the pocket, but he can also break out of there and throw the football. So, you know, I want to see Johnny continue to get better and better, and I want to see him lead this offense and lead this football team. So I think everybody wants to see that. There's some people that are skeptical, some people that probably don't want to see that, but I do. So, you know, hopefully he can go out there and show that this weekend.
How about Terrell prior to his chances? Weekend?
Terrell, he's been working hard, you know, just coming back. I don't know how much to expect. I know Coach said to expect him to be out on the football field. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how much to expect, but I know he'll probably be out there. Special teams in some capacity, offense in some capacity. You know, so I'm just excited, or, you know, as you guys are, about seeing him on the field.
That quarterback sneak Sunday has gotten a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like there was confusion. Can you just tell us what happened?
Well, there wasn't really too much confusion. Both safeties were supposed to come off the edge, blitzing. And I think something happened inside with the defensive line to where we didn't get into our right gaps or whatever, and that's why he went up the middle. So I don't foresee that happening again.
Were you prepared for a sneak at that?
I don't think that we went over that in practice, but anytime, you know, just being a football player and playing for a number of years, anytime a quarterback is, under center in empty formation. It's either going to be a quick pass, three-step, or he's going to run a quarterback sneak. So I can guarantee you that everybody on defense knows that now.
Interesting stuff from Dante Whitner. I don't even really know what to make of it. It seemed like at times he was blaming the offense. At times he was blaming Nojo Hayden. At times he was saying that they are always prepared, and then he closes out by saying they weren't prepared for the sneak. So interesting, kind of was all over the place. It seemed to me he didn't want to put the blame on the coaches, but certainly was blaming the players.
Yeah, and
but
I just,
then blaming the coaches.
Yeah, it just
sounded like a lot of nonsense to me.
Right. It sounds like a 2-10
Yeah, I mean,
comment.
You can't blame the guy. He's asked questions. He's a professional. He's
yes.
trying to. It's just he's a smart guy. He's just trying to sort of weave his way through the interview period, get out of here. I mean, it's the same person that last year was quoted as saying Johnny Manziel looked great in practice, and now after the year, everybody said how bad he was in practice. So I mean, these guys, and you know this, man, you can't really they can't really say what they want to
no.
say.
No,
it's tough. It's an impossible situation.
It is an
it's
impossible
a no-win
situation.
Situation. He seems like a really good guy.
He is a good guy.
Smart guy, but it's a no-win situation.
It's not. It is a no-win situation. But the my biggest takeaway was early is his first comments. You know, starting off with, they execute in practice, and the way it's perceived to me is that there's zero, there's very little carryover, or the mistakes that are made is the fact that something that you did right in practice is being done wrong in the game, okay? And this is where the trickle-down effect comes, because then you have to, if you're essentially placing some type of blame on the players for mental errors, get new guys that can carry over what you practice and put in the game and see it executed the same way. Because that in itself will drive veterans who are doing right down in, down out crazy. That will drive a coach absolutely crazy. And as I've said before many, many times, a coach would rather have a guy that's a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10 just be a 6 instead of having a play like a 9, then a play like a 3, then a play like a 6, then a play like a 9, then a play like a 4. They don't want that up and down. They'd rather have a guy that goes, if I line him up in this gap, he will not get out of his gap. He will not get nosy. He will not try to cross face. He will stay in his gap, because when he stays in his gap, it makes Dansby's read a little bit easier. It makes Whitner's fit a little bit easier. Makes it very clean.
Makes it very clean. Interesting tweet from G.I. George. He said, it sounded to me like those comments were a little self-serving from Dante Whitner, in the meaning he needs this coaching staff to be here if he wants to continue to get paid at the level that he is at, given that his guaranteed money on his deal is up.
I'm not going to say who, but one of my sources said the same thing.
One of your sources. Next year, Dante Whitner, by the way, would be due $8.5 million. The team would only be able to get back if they cut him before June 1st, $4.5 million of that. If after $3.9 million after June 1st. So I would imagine that there's probably a good chance that Dante may, these may be his final four games. And it is interesting. And you never know what guys are doing. But I do remember Dante Whitner saying one thing at the beginning of this year when talking about how the Browns were the best secondary in the NFL. He said, men lie, women lie, stats don't lie, or numbers don't lie. Well, right now, the numbers are not painting a pretty picture for the Cleveland Browns defense under Jim O'Neill.
They're not.
All right, when we come back, we'll pick the games here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. That's what I'm talking about, Kia.
Little extended version by Dino.
Now it's time to make some
now
picks.
On. Now it's on.
Now it is on. Playtime's just about over. I think it's time for business. All right, Dino. It is time to pick the games. Kia, you remain in first place.
I will go second now. I've moved up into second place, something I'm quite proud of. Thank you very much. And it is time for Matt Wilhelm to bring up the rear. Matt Wilhelm, are you ready?
Yes, man.
Kid.
Save the best for last.
Kid, are you ready?
Go for it.
That is a beat.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a modern synthesizer?
Ooh. Yeah, I got the Casio out for this. Yeah.
Are you playing?
No, I'm not playing. I wish I could.
Shout out, by the way, Hawk in second grade. Concert today. Music from around the world.
Oh, there you go.
Featured a song. This is amazing. True. One song in English. Actually, two songs in English. One song in Spanish. One song in Chinese. One song in Turkish. One song in, I guess, South African. Is that what you'd call it? It was amazing. Arden Brown.
Amazing.
Yes, indeed. And this reminds me, there was a guy playing the drums in one of the songs. The song from Turkey, actually. Really was a fine drum player. And Arden was swinging red and white, like, fabric. It was beautiful. Scintillating. All right, here we go. New Orleans at Tampa Bay. The Bucks 4.5-point favorites.
I'm going to take Tampa Bay there.
Tampa Bay.
Famous Jameis Tampa Bay. That's what we call...
Oh, I'm used to... I'm sorry. I was out of order. I'm used to being in second place, so I apologize.
Yes.
Sorry.
Know your role, Matt Wilhelm. Seattle at Baltimore. Seattle. Laying 11.5. Seattle for me as well.
Seattle.
Jimmy Clausen getting a second go-round. Didn't get past the 50-yard line in his first go-round. As a member of the Bears, Pittsburgh at Cincy, it's down to 2.5.
You know what? I'm going to have to do it. I don't like to take underdogs, but I just feel this strongly. The Pittsburgh Steelers will win the game.
I'm taking Pittsburgh as well, Matt Wilhelm. Opportunity. Opportunity.
Give me the Bengals.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. That is the first discrepancy of the day. Matt Wilhelm with Cincinnati.
Let's go.
Atlanta at Carolina. Carolina. Undefeated, 8.5 points.
Carolina.
They are favored. Carolina, unanimous. We're going to get some, though. There's going to be a lot of interesting ones. Pittsburgh, since he was the first real, what I would call, interesting game. Buffalo at Philly. Philly, a 1-point favorite at home. The key
is, this is one where I do think this is going to be a swing game. I'm going to go with Chip Kelly.
I'm going with LeSean McCoy. He's going to run for 8,000 yards, and then he is going to try to ram the football up the posterior of Chip Kelly. Bills!
I'll take the Eagles, please.
Oh, the kid. Could this be the game that knots it all up for me, the kid? Really, the Eagles in that one?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're favored, to be honest.
Well, they're not favored in some places. Some places Buffalo's favored, but...
What do you mean, some places?
Some windows have different numbers.
There's more than one window?
Yeah.
There are many windows.
Are they all floating?
I'm confused.
I'm lost.
Some are in Vegas. Some are offshore.
Really?
You know, Rex Ryan's record off of wins is pathetic.
That's why you're going with it. Is that an R.J. Bell?
That has been an R.J. Bell, and I just also read something else that Philadelphia has nobody on the injury report, so when in doubt, go with a healthier team.
Detroit at St. Louis, Lions 3-point favorites.
Detroit.
On the road.
Detroit.
Lions.
Ooh, I thought he was going with St. Louis.
Thought he was going to go with Leo. Oh, my goodness. All right. Washington at Chicago. Both teams coming off of awful defeats. Chicago, 3.5-point favorites at home.
Bears.
Who is this?
Bears who?
Redskins.
Give me the Skins. Oh, who are you taking?
Wilhelm.
Wilhelm. Jumping the gun. That's what he's used to, folks. That's
I am
okay.
Very comfortable.
I'm
going to
take
spot.
The Bears as well. I don't like Kirk Cousins on the road. Tennessee at the Jets. Jets, 7-point favorites.
The Jets.
Jets.
The kid, we only have one difference so far. I don't like that.
Yeah.
All right. Up next, here we go. A true pick'em. Indiana at Jacksonville. What do we know the latest on Matt Hasselbeck?
Give me the Jags.
Do we know the latest? Let me look it up. Matt Hasselbeck was banged up. He needs to play better against the Jags after a poor shook off soreness. Back on the field, taking the majority of the reps.
Oh,
he'll be
starting.
Matt Hasselbeck will be starting. Not Andrew Luck.
Give me the Jags.
Was that you being funny right there?
A little pump fake.
A little sarcasm font?
Who are you taking?
Jags. Jacksonville. I'm going to take the Colts. This game means more to the Colts than it does to the Jags.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Colts.
Okay, here we go. I don't like going against the Jags either. Because of Allen Robinson, that's like an adopted team of mine. Here we go. San Diego at Kansas City. Kansas City, 10.5 point favorite.
Next, let's go.
Kansas City. All right. Oakland at Denver.
Denver.
I think so, too. That one, I think, could be closer than – I don't think Denver should be favored by seven over them.
Are you taking Denver? Can you give your pick instead of an analysis?
I said Denver. Okay. I said Denver.
I'll take the Broncos.
Dallas at Green Bay, down to 6.5.
Green Bay.
I thought there were going to be more, like, fun games this
week. There are. They're coming.
Where?
New England at Houston. Patriots, 3.5 point favorites on the road.
Billy B.
Patriots.
Is that Bill O.B.?
No, Billy B.
Patriots as well, unanimous. New York Giants, Miami Dolphins. Dolphins, 1.5 point home dogs.
I'm going to take the G-men. Do it. Come on.
I don't like the Dolphins. I don't think they're very good.
Take the Dolphins.
Take the Giants.
I'll take... Who'd you guys take?
Both Giants.
One point dog at home?
Yeah.
I'll take the Dolphins.
Wearing throwback uniforms. We haven't seen those since Ace
Ventura.
Is Mark Duper
playing?
Mark Clayton. And then finally, this one. Here we go. The Cleveland Browns. 1.5 point favorites at home against the San Francisco 49ers.
Does this count?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything counts.
This one is close enough that yes.
I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to say the San Francisco 49ers. I don't like to do it, but it's too tight of a race to give one up. I'm going to say San Fran.
Oh, why? The kid, why? Not even at the guarantee. Dino,
guarantee is no more.
Nathan, you've got three more weeks, man.
I'm phoning a friend, Dino. Dino, you're my friend. What do you think here? What do you think?
Oh, see, you're putting
that was great music shift to the lifeline.
Oh, it was. It got serious.
Dino is raising his game again.
That's right. He loves it when you're here. I think you bring out something extra in
I do. I stepped my game up for the kid.
You're like the. Remember
that big compliment last
who
week.
Who was Greg Maddux's catcher? Who's the guy that always caught Greg Maddux?
Oh, Javi Lopez.
Yeah, you're like Javi Lopez for Dino.
All right. It brings me no pleasure to do this. I think 49ers are going to win.
You non-believers out there. How dare you?
By a field goal. Phil Dawson. Phil Dawson will put salt in the wound. San Francisco 20, Browns 17.
All right, so
By the way, it was Eddie Perez that
Eddie
was his
Perez.
Personal catch.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Paul Myers says, "My biggest fear is that this game comes down to a Phil Dawson field goal. Will he have the heart to make it?" Is there anybody here who thinks that Phil Dawson would miss it for the city of Cleveland?
No. Not me.
Me neither, kid.
No chance.
All right, so right now Dino, you say no.
I say 49ers by 3.
The kid, you say no. It's me now. I'm going to do it. I'm doing it.
Well, make a pick already. Come on.
The Cleveland Browns will win this game over the 49ers. Thank you. Thank you, Dino. Thank you.
I'm going to go with the odds. From a season standpoint, okay, I'm going to go with the team that has won more football games than they have lost this season.
So if the Browns win, you and I are tied, the kid. It would come down to what happens with Indiana and Jacksonville and Buffalo, Philadelphia. Wow. This music has set a lot of drama for this. So here are the differences. Wilhelm and I both have 3 with you. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh for you and Wilhelm. Buffalo, Philly for me and you. Indiana, Jacksonville for both of us and you. Miami and the Giants for Wilhelm, Cleveland and the 49ers for me. So basically that Jacksonville game is a big ball game, folks. Big.
It's the biggest game of the week.
Huge.
G-O-T-W. That's what we call the game of the week.
All right, we'll be back with more Friday forecast up next. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Kid, very happy that the butt will be back for the blue. Yes, I am. As well as Chris Wormley back on the squad as well.
Yes. All right, Dino.
Yeah,
time.
Fire it up.
Full Friday forecast.
All right, guys. We kick off with this. The Browns will win Sunday if blank.
I hate to sound like a broken record, but you got to win the turnover margin in this game. I'm going to say you got to be plus two.
Yeah, I agree. I think in this football game with the 49ers having such a bad offense, that if you win the turnover battle, that I, even with, and I hate to come across that way with Johnny Manziel, with the lack of weapons and continuity and inability to run the football, I think you can take those and use them as an advantage to potentially put points on the board and or continue to chew up the clock and use that as an advantage as well. So the turnover battle.
I'm going to say if they have a running back run for more than 75 yards for the first time all year, the Browns will win this game. And when you look at the 49ers, 3-1 when they score 20 or more points, undefeated when they have a lead at halftime. So the Browns will win this game if they are ahead or tied at the half.
Well, we expect to see Terrell Pryor on the field Sunday in some capacity for the Browns. Asking you here for number two on the forecast, what will Pryor's line be in Sunday's game with San Francisco?
15 plays.
15 plays. I'll go just a little bit more
specific. Oh, that's his line. I'm sorry. I thought you meant how
many is that?
I thought you meant, okay, so
how many catches, yards, et cetera?
I think you'll have one rush for 13 yards.
One rush, nice.
And I think he'll be out there. I don't think he'll catch any passes.
I'm going to go with the same realm with around 15 plays, maybe 20. I think he'll be targeted three times with two receptions, and I also believe he will have a rush.
I'm going to say four targets, one catch for 12 yards, one carry for negative six.
Hey.
Wow. Well, they're going to run a reverse, and then he's going to get blown up.
Like Adrian Peterson.
Hopefully he holds on to the ball.
That would be nice. But I like the idea. I mean, they're trying to run a reverse. Get him the ball. All right. I need to play here. Phil Dawson is one of the top five kickers in the NFL today, right now.
I'm not that much of a kicker aficionado, right, but I'm gonna say no.
Goskowski.
Goskowski.
Tucker. I thought the kid last night,
the guy from Arizona,
Canzaro.
I'd say both guys last night.
No, Blair Walsh is terrible. That's ridiculous.
I'm not going to say he's terrible.
Crosby's fallen from grace.
Dan Bailey. Dan Bailey's solid. He's about fifth or sixth. Hey, I'm going to say no.
Fiction.
Hey, let me see if I can. I want to get into like a pretty fair assessment of this.
Those kickers are gosh darn important.
That's right.
They are important. So let's look at the kickers here. I'm going to say top 10. I'm not going to give them top 5. While you guys get to the next question, I'm going to come here and I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to get this right now.
All right. Next.
Next. And finally on the forecast, what team is the best fit for Colin Kaepernick to land on after this season? It's a layup here for you, DeKid.
Well, if Chip Kelly survives, it's going to be Philadelphia, and I think it's like almost a foregone conclusion that that's where he is.
Philadelphia?
Yeah.
That's such an easy choice, and it makes the most sense. And I can't think of another shoe-in for him, so I'll say the same. Philly.
Say Philadelphia, and I'm also going to offer up the services of the Cleveland Football Browns. If it doesn't work out in the draft that the quarterback they want is there, maybe you bring in Kaepernick with Johnny. You have two guys who can run similar principles with their legs and their arm. similar learning curve. So I would say I'm going to say the Eagles, though, is probably number one. Number two, I will say, is the Cleveland Browns. By the way, Phil Dawson, I will not be placing in my top five a kicker. I got Gostkowski. I got Tucker. I got Dan Bailey. I got Hauschka.
Hauschka.
Yeah, you forgot about Hauschka.
And I'm still going to take Adam Vinatieri.
Oh, yeah.
What about Janikowski?
Seabass is another one. I also happen to be a very big fan of Josh Brown. Had a very nice season. By the way, it's hard to ignore the fact Travis Kuhn's only missed two kicks this year.
And two extra points.
Yeah, but his kick, his ball flight doesn't allow him to hit long ones.
The vectors are
What's
in
your
question.
Vector, Victor?
All right, guys, that is the Friday forecast.
That is the forecast. Kid, do you have a forecast question of your own?
Let me think about it over the break, and I'll get back to you.
All right. There it is. When we come back, final thoughts. Segura, Wilhelm, the Kid. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Welcome back, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Segura, Wilhelm, Kid, final thoughts. And I got to tell you, a record has been set. I don't know if we're going to get some church lore or what, but Stan the Man has been on hold for over an hour, so I feel like
my final thought is that we should get Stan involved in this show.
Stan, it's your time.
Oh, thank you very much. You're very thoughtful.
You must have an amazing phone plan.
I do. Unlimited. Unlimited long distance.
Good.
Are you on a landline?
Yeah, I really am.
Okay. Turn your radio down, by the way, Stan.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I apologize.
He's been waiting. That's okay.
Okay. Fine. You know, it's understandable.
I was giving some thoughts to some past coaches and players of the Cleveland Browns that have been in the Super Bowl or played in it or won it. Don Shula, Bill Belichick, Bill Cowher. Let's see, Art Modell, Ozzie Newsome, Weeb Eubank, DiBartolo. I might have missed a few, but, you know, they went on to greatness. And then we got three coaches in the final four that have Ohio ties. Nick Saban, Antonio, and, of course, Bob Stoops out there in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. But I'm siding with Mr. Dean Natale, my good friend, that the Browns will lose by three. Phil Dawson field goal late in the game.
Stan, I was counting on your positivity.
Stan, did you start your happy hour just yet?
Stan's gone. That's it.
Stan's gone.
He dropped the mic on you.
Just like that. I mean, it sounded to me like happy hour started a little while ago for Stan.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, bro.
Oh, man. I don't think Stan hits. I don't think Stan's a midday saucer, if I recall.
It's Friday, man. He's allowed to hit a little happy hour.
I'm not saying he's not allowed. He's a grown man. He can do whatever he wants.
What was he calling with a question, or was he just calling to, like,
he's calling his shot.
He was calling a shot. It was just
what
a
did that have to do with Dan
Tone
or Antony, as he called him, and Saban, and I love you, Stan.
DiBartolo.
Have a good weekend, Stan.
Was he talking about the pitcher for the Indians?
I don't know what he was talking about, but you know what? One more time, I'm a heat. Well, can I get an I'm a heat from you?
I'm a heat.
Yeah.
Is that a question?
I'm going to do it one more time.
I'm a heat?
The Scott Lichtenstein version with Nev.
Nev, as far as I'm concerned, I'm a heat.
Oh, awesome, man.
I got to find that.
Find it. Come on, Dino. That is your holiday mission.
Okay.
Let's have a Festivus miracle when you produce this clip. I hope it's as good as I expect it to be. I feel like it's got to be. I mean, if everybody knows about it, everybody knows a variation of it.
Ida heat.
Ida heat?
Ida heat.
I'm a heat. I like Ida heat.
Yes, I do too.
I don't think that's what it was.
No. I don't either, but it still sounds good.
Still sounds great.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for being with us here today on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I'm telling you, it's going to be a victory Monday. Could be the last one of the season, but it's going to happen. Victory Monday. Who's with me? Who's coming with me? The Kid. Nope. Not welcome. You're not welcome, the Kid. Matt Wilhelm, you can come with me, even though you said no.
Listen, if it costs us the number one pick in the draft, nobody's looking for it to be a victory Monday.
It's not going to.
Does it really matter to Kid? I mean,
I want the number one pick in the draft.
It actually gets you two first rounders this year because you get two of the top 32 because New England doesn't have a first round pick.
What a joke that is.
Yes.
So, I mean, it is.
How about that?
It is important.
Well, and you definitely want that number one pick in the draft.
I want the king's ransom.
Forget the king's ransom. Get a quarterback. Let's get whatever we need. Let's focus on this Sunday. Win the game. That's what we're doing. We're trying to put ourselves in the best position to win. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys, for Dino, for the kid, for Matt Wilhelm. I am Nathan Zgura saying, can't wait for my son Bryce's birthday party tonight. Happy birthday, Bryce boy. That's actually next Friday. We'll do the exact on the day. But thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.